If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
It's not clear yet how the explosion at a hospital in Gaza on Tuesday will change the course of the war between Israel and Hamas. Hundreds of people were killed in the blast, which happened the night before President Biden arrived in Israel on Wednesday. Palestinian authorities blame Israel. The Israeli military blames Islamic Jihad, another militant group based in Gaza, claiming the hospital explosion was a failed rocket launch. What exactly happened remains disputed. It's clear, though, they're spreading anger. Protests broke out across the Middle East in response to the blast, including in Jordan, where Biden was meant to meet with King Abdullah on Wednesday. Biden canceled the stop after Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas pulled out of the meeting. Biden did meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Tel Aviv in order to show his continued support following the October 7th Hamas attacks that killed more than 1,400 Israelis. The two leaders exchanged words while sitting in front of reporters. Here's Netanyahu.
Mr. President, for the people of Israel, there's only one thing better than having a true friend like you standing with Israel, and that is having you standing in Israel. Your visit here is the first visit of an American president in Israel at a time of war.
The fact is that Israel, as they respond to these attacks, it seems to me that they have to continue to ensure that you have what you need to defend yourselves. And we're going to make sure that occurs, as you know.
Biden addressed the hospital attack.
And based on what I've seen, it appears as though it was done by the other team, not you. But there's a lot of people out there not sure. So we've got to overcome a lot of things.
Afterwards, the National Security Council put out a brief statement on X, formerly Twitter, saying in part, quote, "Our current assessment, based on analysis of overhead imagery, intercepts, and open source information, is that Israel is not responsible for the explosion." Neither Biden nor the NSC have provided any details on where that information is coming from. While he was in Israel, Biden offered some advice.
You can't look at what has happened here to your mothers, your fathers, your grandparents, sons, daughters, children, even babies, and not scream out for justice. Justice must be done. But I caution this, while you feel that rage, don't be consumed by it. After 9/11, we were enraged in the United States. While we sought justice and got justice, we also made mistakes.
In fact, Biden was still dealing with some of those choices 20 years later. While most of the attention has been focused on Gaza, violence in this conflict isn't confined there. Consider this. Dozens of Palestinians have been killed in the Israeli-occupied West Bank in what seems like retaliation for the Hamas attacks. Coming up, NPR's Leila Fadel travels to a West Bank village that has been attacked repeatedly in recent days. From NPR, I'm Scott Detrow. It's Wednesday, October 18th.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. What's the right amount of socializing for you? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can help you figure out your boundaries, how to recharge, and your social sweet spot, so you can build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Try therapy with BetterHelp. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Visit BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Integrative Therapeutics, with vitamins and supplements previously available only through practitioners, including Cortisol Manager. Unlock your best self with clinician-curated supplements from Integrative Therapeutics, now on Amazon.
It's Consider This from NPR. In the days following the Hamas assault in southern Israel, more than 60 Palestinians have been killed in the West Bank, according to the Palestinian Health Ministry. Many of these attacks appear to be reprisal killings. My colleague Leila Fadel traveled from Jerusalem to the village of Kusra in the northern West Bank. What happened there, just days after the Hamas attack, tells the story of just how combustible tensions are right now between Israelis and Palestinians beyond Gaza. Leila takes it from here.
So we've just arrived in Kusra, and this is an area where a few people have been killed in violence in the West Bank. And as we were driving up, you can kind of see the way this land is divided. Settlements coming in, Palestinians being moved out, and Kusra is surrounded by settlements. So we're here right now. We're about to meet the mayor. We head inside to meet Hani Awda Abu Ala in his office. Can I ask, just in the last few days, what's been happening in Kusra?
In the first stage of the suffering of this village this last week, three Palestinians were killed when they tried to defend children in a house that was attacked by the settlers. In the second stage of what happened here this week, the soldiers came into our village and killed another person from Kusra, making the number of martyrs in Kusra 4 martyrs in one day.
A few days later, when they carried the dead in a funeral procession coordinated with Israeli authorities, the mayor says they lost 2 more people when settlers shot a father and son.
We are not against Jews. Let us establish this. We are against settlers and the ones who call themselves soldiers, whom to us are not soldiers who defend us as citizens.
He says this is the worst settler violence they've seen. And he says the attackers came from a settlement nearby called Esh Kodesh, holy fire in Hebrew. But these attacks, he says, are not isolated incidents. The walls of his office are covered in pictures of settler violence he says Kusra has endured.
The attacks on Kusra are ongoing and are on a daily basis. As you can see in all these pictures, we have an attack on a mosque. We have attack on agricultural sites. Wherever you look here, it's attacks by Israeli soldiers and settlers, the worst of which was the one we had a couple of days ago.
The images show destroyed olive groves, a damaged mosque, a man killed, and protests. We leave his office and head to a gathering hall for the village. Inside, women have come together to mourn their dead. They cry, they hold each other, and they pray. And when pictures of the dead are passed around the hall, the wails grow louder. Hassan Mohammed Abu Sarur was 21 when he was killed last Tuesday. His mother sits between her aunt and her cousin. Their arms are draped around her shoulders protectively.
It's too hard to talk about it.
He is her oldest son.
Abu Sarur's mother stays silent, and Hanan Awda, her cousin, speaks on her behalf. He heeded the call to help when the attack began. He was shot.
They have killed our young people. They want to evacuate us from our own lands. They say, these lands are ours, not yours.
When we leave the hall, the mayor, Hani Awda Abu Ala, is waiting. He gets in the car with us and takes us to the limits of his village. He wants to show us parts of the land the residents here no longer use because it's vulnerable to settler violence and harassment.
Yeah. We're going to go down because he's going to show us now the bigger picture.
We stop at a hilltop.
This piece of land was supposed to be the site of a building. After these incidents, he's gone. His land is going to stay, but he's gone. and his project is gone with it.
He points at a higher peak across the way to show me the settlements that overlook this edge of the village.
Esh Kodesh is right there on the left-hand side. In the center is a military camp. And he says the settlers, along with the soldiers, gather there and come down to attack us together. Then there's Rahel right there on the far right. And Rahel is expanding nonstop.
So now, for the safety of the farmers in this village, they no longer come here. We leave and end up at the house that was attacked last Tuesday, the place where many of the villagers were killed. The windows on the front of the home are shattered, the wood nearby burned, a car destroyed. Abu Ala blames Hamas and Israel's far-right government for the war and these killings in his village. Settlers who want to attack Palestinians, he says, are more emboldened than ever.
They had posted on social media that we will take revenge. These people are violent all the time against the people of Qusra and the neighboring villages, but the war empowered them as well.
When you say the settlers are emboldened, what does that mean for the future of Qusra?
I see the future as a bleak future. I see it as a black future.
He wants it to stop.
When I try to understand what happened in the war, I tell you that these people in Gaza have been under siege for so long and have been killed in such a way. This is why the war took place. And if our situation continues here with settler attacks, the same thing will happen. People will start feeling the same way as Gaza. The more aggressiveness on the one side, the more is the aggressiveness from the other side. I don't agree with this, he says, but I address the Israeli people and say enough, enough, enough killing on both sides.
The Israeli army said it was checking when NPR asked if the army killed one of these villagers, but didn't get back to us in time for this broadcast. We also asked the police if anyone involved in these killings of six Palestinians was arrested. No arrest, but they say it's under investigation. And a lawyer who represents Israeli settlers accused of violence told NPR there have been many Palestinian shooting attacks since the war began and no arrests. It underscores what the mayor and the villagers told me, that armed settlers harass and in this case kill them with impunity. So while we were in Qusra, our colleague, Ari Shapiro, from All Things Considered, went to the settlement where Qusra residents said the attackers came from, and he joins me now to talk about that. Hi, Ari.
Hey, Leila.
You know, Ari, in Qusra, we found a community that was afraid. They feel the Israeli military is there to protect the settlers and not them, and they're particularly worried about attacks from a settlement, Esh Kodesh, when you met someone from there, right?
Yeah, Nati Rome is his name. He got out of his truck carrying an M16 and a Glock. Nati Rome said he needs his weapon to defend himself. And after we met, I followed up to ask him about some of the specific claims in your reporting. He said, quote, completely fake.
All the dead people, the dead terrorists, are from the bullets of the IDF after they started a riot and after they shoot almost every day on Jews in the village.
He said the men killed at the funeral were, quote, condemned terrorists that were involved in the lynching of children.
Just to be clear, there's no evidence of anyone lynching children or being an accused terrorist among the dead. It's not something we heard from anyone, not the Israeli military either. And videos of the incident show what looked like unarmed villagers in Qusra getting shot at. So a very different story.
Yes, and while there may never be closure on this specific incident, we can definitively say that settlement violence against Palestinians in the West Bank has increased dramatically since the massacre of October 7th. I spoke with an expert who's been studying this for decades. His name is Dror Etkes, and here's what he told me.
Not only the numbers, also the severity of these attacks, you know. There's a difference between verb and violent, then to get into a community and to shoot in the air.
Yeah, and that's the kind of stuff we were hearing from the mayor. He's really worried that these attacks that took six people from his village are just going to increase, and he described the future as bleak. What did you hear from people?
What Nati Rome and Esh Kodesh said really stuck with me. When I asked him to paint a picture of the future he wants to see, he said, quote, "You can't make peace with people who want to kill you. The future is we'll be able to eliminate the snake."
That was NPR's Leila Fadel, along with Consider This co-host Ari Shapiro. You can hear more of Ari's reporting from the settlements on All Things Considered. Visit npr.org/allthingsconsidered, and we'll have a link in our show notes. It's Consider This from NPR. I'm Scott Detrow.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.